怎么来的吗？
Well, today I don't have any PowerPoint, so please keep your page open, in Luke chapter 4, we'll refer to it
from time to time to the sermon. Let us begin with a prayer.
Heavenly Father, we give thanks for you. We forward today's story. Lord, we pray that may you open our hearts so that we will understand what you're going to speak to us through the story of Ruth. Lord, we pray that we will put it into our hearts and that we will practice it as we learn it today. We pray this in the name.
Now, hands up, everyone. Anyone who would like to buy a property? Property? Anyone want to buy a house? Anyone want to buy a house in the future?
Yes.
Do you like property? Have you ever go to domain.com.au or some of others or realestate.com.au or something like that? Now, I've noticed that there's a Chinese obsession in purchasing and acquiring property and in the land of Australia. With that super high property values across the city area, houses and land worth a fortune. Some properties, some family would require a few generations from grandfathers to the grandsons working for many, many years to pay off their mortgage. However, if the family leaves no descendants or the older generation has died off, their property would probably be sold to another person or lost to another high bidder of the property. And the liquid asset then would be divided among the surviving relatives or the family members. And that family would easily lost their ancestral house or land because of division of wealth. Like their parents took many years to acquire the house, and when they died, they sold the property, and the children tried to separate it, so they lost their home. But in the Old Testament time, God had promised the land of Canaan to Abraham and Jacob, and who God renamed to be Israel. And in Israel, the land first is the name of a person called Jacob. Now later on, all of his descendants are called the Israelites. And in the nation of Israel, each tribe and family has inherited a piece of the promised land in Canaan as their ancestral promise from God. They cannot transfer that land to another person. So what happened if a family of Israel lost their patriarch with no heir to inherit the land? Now, who will take this land from the dead in Israel? And today's passage gives us a glimpse into the ancient world of Israel about this legal matter regarding to the property transfer of the deceased. Now, in ancient Israel, under the law of Moses, it required that the closest relative to redeem the property of the deceased. Now, this person is called the kinsman's redeemer. Kinsman's redeemer. And it is sort of like the modern day, if a person died without leaving a will, then his possessions and property will belong to his closest relatives at home. And the role of kinsman redeemer under the Mosaic law is found in Leviticus chapter 25, Leviticus 25 in the Old Testament. And this law of divine justice was written to protect the weak people in the society so that the Israelite family who has lost the patriarch can have a chance to maintain their land, their ancestral homeland by a close relative to their family with their own name. Now, this is the situation of Naomi, who has become a poor widow in Ruth, in the book of Ruth, after she lost her husband and her two sons in Moab. More than just acquiring the land of the dead as a guardian, this relative, the kinsman redeemer, would become like he would also have to take the wife of the dead to his deceased in order to produce an heir for the family, in order to continue the bloodline of the deceased. Now, in the case of if an Israelite man says that he fails to leave behind a son, then the brother of the deceased man is commanded by the law to take the widow as his wife. And both the redeemed have to follow him, both redeem the land and provide an heir in order to carry the dead father's name. So for example, my father has two sons, that's me and my brother. If I die, my brother, if he is not married already, he has to take my wife so that the firstborn son is carried my name to give me a child to inherit the land. Now that is the law back in those days. And the relative of the person will be in charge of looking after the poor and provide for their needs. Such an ancient welfare system by family has never existed outside God's people in Israel. If you are in other ancient cultures, like the Egyptians or Chinese, they would not do this. They would not look after their poor. They would not look after the widows. But our God is a compassionate God. And His law has shown that God's people are different to other people. They will look after their relatives. And as this is written in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5 to 10, this is what the law says. It says, if brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of the brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother so that his name will not be bought out of from Israel. However, if a man does not want to marry his brother's wife, she shall go to the elders at the town gate and say, My husband's brother refused to carry on his brother's name in Israel. He will not fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to me. Then the elders of his town shall summon him and talk to him. If he persists in saying, I do not want to marry her, his brother's widow shall go up to him in the presence of the elders, take off one of his sandals and spit in his face and say, this is what is done to the man who will not build up his brother's family line. And this dead man's line shall be known in Israel as the family of the unsandaled. So you have to go to the judge, go to the courtroom, in front of everyone, say the widow says stick on his face and say that he refused to take his brother's name to give him a name. Now that is the law. That is the background story where Ruth and Naomi, when they were at that time in ancient Israel, in the book of Judges during the time. Now the role of as a kinsman redeemer is Boaz's support position. And it is the responsibility that Ruth had pledged with Boaz to fulfill in chapter 3 from last week. That is what she's asking. You are my kinsman redeemer. And being the godly man that Boaz has graciously received Ruth's offer, and he promised that he will fulfill his role early in the morning as the sunrise. And because there's another relative who's closer relative to the Naomi than him, so Boaz meet up with that person at the city gate. And at the ancient city of Israel, the city gate serves also as the city hall at the same time. Back in those days, they don't have a city hall. They don't have a judgmental, like a courtroom or something like that. If you go to the town, it's like the way that you go to town hall now. But the community, when they gather together, they gather next to the city gate. That's where all the business around, there's the markets are all there. And that is the closest thing, the easiest way to find the elders. That's why when the elders are sitting down there, they can do all the business or transactions out there. Now, so it was the right place at the city gate for Boaz to make this transaction. First, what the Boaz did is present his case to a relative in front of 10 elders. He gathered 10 elders sitting here in front of the next gate, so as his witness. And after that guy said that, well, now Naomi still have some property in the area, and now it's for sale. If Asian person heard about that, there's one of your relatives selling the land in Chippa, everyone just had something, they want to claim it, right? We all want the properties. But, so because it's by the law in the Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25, it says, if one of your fellow Israelites become poor and sell some of their property, their nearest relative is to come and redeem what they have sold. So you're not selling to outside world, not to sell to another person. You sell to your own family, so it belongs to your name, belongs to your family name. But then Boaz also said that according to the law, if the relative bought the property, he had also had to marry Ruth as well. Now, not just getting a land, you need to get a woman. And the widow of Mahlon to fulfill his duty as the kinsman redeemer. Now, that relative who is closer to Naomi back down immediately. He didn't want to complicate his inheritance. You know why? Back in the old days, Israelites only married Israelites. They won't mix race to another Gentile because they think that they are not part of God's promised family. And Ruth is a Moabite, a Gentile, who is back in those days is the enemy of Israel. So for him, maybe or whatever his reason it is, he said, or maybe she's not pretty enough for him to love. So immediately he said, guys, back off. He said that, well, he said, when he saw that he doesn't want to complicate his inheritance, he said that the boy, by yourself and remove his own sandal. Now remember before we talk about when you remove the sandal, it means that he doesn't want to redeem it. That is where the law turned into. He took off his sandal and gave to Boaz. God said, I'm giving you my right. I don't want to take that woman. Then, so what the relative did in this related to a Jewish custom, and back in those days, in the early times in Israel, if you redeem a land and transfer a property, become final, one party will take off his sandal and give it to the others. That's what you do. So back in those days, you don't have transcripts, you don't have writing on it, you don't have a courtroom, you don't have a lawyer, they write everything for you and make a transaction. If you keep someone's sandal, that is the way it's kind of like, I handle the property, the rights to you. So that is to make it transaction memorable or as a witness, that is the sandal, what they do. That is just a local custom. So, whatever his reason, now Boaz is the right person to, that's the second closest relative to Naomi and Elimelech. So they didn't mean that Boaz had purchased the property though. You know, like, as a kinsman redeemer, what he did is he has the right to oversight and have the redemption have passed on from that relative to Boaz. Well, Boaz does not own the land, he's like a guardian of the land and the guardian of the family. So in this case, Boaz had to acquire Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as his own wife in order to maintain the name of Mahlon and Elimelech in his property, so that their family line will not disappear among in the history of Israel and in the time records. And so that is why Boaz put it up in front of everyone, saying that now I claim Ruth as my wife. That's what he did in front of everyone. So what he need to do, Boaz, as now he becomes the kinsman redeemer, he needs to carry on Elimelech's family line. That is his duty. Not as a guardian of the land, he also has to produce a son. That is why he needs his wife to do so. And so, at that time, because of this, the elders of Israel blessed Boaz. What did they say in verse 11, if you look at the Bible? Verse 11, Ruth chapter 4, verse 11. We will see it say that, then the elders and all the people at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and became famous in Bethlehem. Now, Ephrathah is the name of Bethlehem before, in the past. So at the beginning, in chapter 1, you see Elimelech is a fake. Means that he's a place, he is a person come from this area. And everyone loves the happy endings. Elimelech's family not only is not the only family that has suffered in Bethlehem. Remember, there was famine out there. Many, many families probably suffered at the same time. But to see a family overcomes all the devastation of famine, death, and childlessness, it is very inspiring. Everyone thought that they're gone, like Elimelech and Naomi's family is gone, they're going to finish. But no, God has changed it because of the kindness of Boaz to redeem them. And so the elders at that time, the 10 elders, actually given Boaz a divine blessing that pointing to something very significant in God's plan. If you look at the blessing that he gave to him, it talks about Rachel and Leah. The entire Israel came from there, where God's promise came from there. And he said that to build the family of Israel, and that he will be great, he will be famous. Now, does anyone know what happened afterward? Why is it so important that Boaz is to have to redeem Ruth? The offspring of Boaz will be a son in an heir who will inherit God's promise to Abraham and Jacob. It is the chosen godly family whom God is building to bring salvation to humankind. Afterward, when they bore a son, that son will be the grandfather of King David. And from the line of King David, it will be born Jesus Christ in your Christmas story. If Boaz did not redeem Ruth in this literary part of the Bible, Jesus' genealogy, his kingly line from as a son of David, will not happen because King David will not be born. That is how important it is in relation to God's promise and to the salvation of mankind. And the elders at that time, he blessed Boaz, because if Boaz didn't do that, I think he will not be recorded in the Bible at all. And so now, so Judah, and also like we talk about, when you talk about what is said, in verse 12, continue, it says the elders also blessing Boaz, he said, through the offspring of the Lord, gives you by this young woman, that is Ruth, may your family delight that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Now, so Boaz is not the first kinsman redeemer in the godly line of in the genealogy of Jesus. The first time you see a kinsman redeemer, it was in Genesis chapter 38, where Tamar was the daughter-in-law of Judah. Judah had the first son have a son who married Tamar, but he died. And the son, the dead son's brother, refused to take Tamar as his wife. So God struck him down. He died too. And in that case, Judah did not have descendants. No male, no heir. At the end, if Tamar had to do something with Judah and keep on the family line as a kinsman's redeemer. And now, he's saying that the elder tells you that this kind of job of kinsman redeemer, in order to secure the line, the godly family line of Jesus Christ, is now passed on to Boaz. And this, as Judah was a kinsman redeemer to produce a child Perez to continue the family line, now Boaz is the same bloodline of the blessing and the same blessing from God to keep his promise to Abraham, Jacob, and Judah. And it's the blessing now is passed on to Ruth and Boaz. That's where the relations come from. And this is the case of Bethlehem. And so that, remember where David's town is, the city of David is Bethlehem, in that place, that's where the same place, that's where it started. And we become, that means that Jesus, all of his ancestors will now be born through the womb of Ruth, from his son Obed. Boaz and Ruth have never dreamed of their deeds, their of righteousness and of their of his kindness that will produce given the promise, the blessings of Abraham passed on to them from the Lord. And what is more, because through Boaz he redeemed the line of Elimelech, Jesus will come to redeem all of the people of God. Now, the story of Ruth portrays God's blessing on the righteous people who put their faith in Him. And this outcome was only accomplished through Boaz's righteous response to redeem Ruth and Naomi. Because of his righteous actions, Boaz communicates Christ and foreshadows what the role of a redeemer is like. Like the way Boaz had redeemed Ruth, God will redeem His church. Was Ruth worthy to be redeemed? She's very poor. She's not better looking than all the other women. She has nothing to offer. She doesn't worth it. So what did Boaz do? First, pay a lot of his property, a lot of stuff for her to claim her, in order to do a lot of different things, like go to the city gate and try to claim her. It's all by grace. And Ruth is representing us, the church of God. Are we worthy to be redeemed by God? Are we better than any other people out there? Are we the best person ever, the prettiest people ever seen, ever seen every great on earth? I don't think so. Are we the richer than everyone else? We are born of a prince and princesses in the world. I don't think so. We are all like Ruth. We doesn't worth it. Doesn't worth God to redeem us. But out of His kindness, like God had kindness out of Ruth to Ruth that He redeemed her, Christ has also redeemed us out of our poverty, free of spiritual poverty, and bringing us into His family. What's more, remember, Ruth was a Gentile. We are also Gentiles. We wasn't part of God's blessing to Abraham's family at the beginning, back in Old Testament time. God has chosen us, like the way Boaz had chosen Ruth to be his wife. God has chosen his people, the church, the global church, to be his wife. And our husband will be Jesus Christ. As the church unites with Christ together, by the way, now Ruth, who was a Gentile, now part of God's family, part of God's promise through Boaz. So Jesus looked at us with the kindness like Boaz looked at Ruth, and like Boaz, who spent a large sum of great measure to redeem Ruth, Jesus Christ has also spent a great measure, His own life, to redeem us from our sins on the cross. It was Jesus to whom Boaz's position is pointed to as the ultimate kinsman redeemer. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, who would redeem His elect from the world, and He would redeem a bride for Himself, us, the church. So that in the person and the work of Christ was found the true definition of a kinsman redeemer. Jesus Christ Himself is the ultimate kinsman redeemer. He redeemed us to Himself. Now, are you feeling so grateful, like Ruth, that God has sent you a kinsman redeemer who would do everything, even giving up His life, to redeem you? Boaz did a lot of things. I'm sure that Ruth was very grateful that Boaz had done this for her. But are we thankful as the church to Christ, what Christ has done for us? He doesn't need to come down to earth to save us. He doesn't need to come down to earth as God to redeem us for Himself. But how much measure that He did for us. We are all saved through grace and kindness of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, our Redeemer. And also Ruth didn't know what would become, that she one day would become the great-grandmother of Israel's great king. When she left Boaz. Remember when that time she left Boaz? She had nothing, no husband, no family. She was an outsider, a Gentile in Israel. She would not imagine what would happen to her. And so But and all she did at that time, what did she did? She just take the first step, saying that in chapter 1, he said, "Your people are my people, your God, my God." That is the faith that we need when we take our step, first step, to inherit God's possession. We need to say to the church, say to God's people, say that your people is my people, your God is my God. All of us are Ruth. Unless you're a Jewish person, we are all Ruth. And because of her faithful obedience, Ruth's life and her life and her legacy were significant, even though she couldn't see it at all at the beginning. We must make our choices with God's eternal values in our mind. We must wait for Christ's redemption. When Jesus returns, like the way that Ruth had been waiting, waiting for Boaz to redeem her, we need to wait for Christ to come and redeem us. And Jesus promised he will do this when he returns in the future. We are now, just like last time, like last week, when we, like Boaz promised, with a promise, saying that I'm going to redeem you next morning, Jesus is saying the same thing to us right now. All the Gentiles, all the Ruth, from Moab, all of us. Jesus said to you, "I give you a promise, I will redeem you." But do you trust, like Ruth, that waiting for Jesus' return to redeem you in his own kingdom? Remember, if we trust God and trust what Christ promised for us, the reward will outweigh us any sacrifice you have made. So be faithful to our Lord as bride, as the church, and be faithful like Ruth, so the blessing of salvation from God that is given through Abraham to Jacob, to Judah, to Boaz, will pass on to you, to us, all of us. We will receive this inheritance. This is the God's promise. From this promise is extended beyond this lifetime of ours until eternity. So let us pray now to our Heavenly Father in the name of our Redeemer Jesus, and ask God to shape us to be wise and righteous like the poor, and to be faithful and obedient like Ruth. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this little story, love story of Boaz and Ruth, that you have taught us about the meaning of our kinsman redeemer. Lord, may you come and redeem us into your kingdom, so that we will inherit the spiritual inheritance, and that we will live with you forever into eternity. Pray that may you give us the wisdom, and let us be wise, let us be kind like Boaz, and help us so that we will be faithful and be obedient like Ruth. By your Spirit, we pray this in your Son. Amen.